This is DJ Kick, and you're listening to Steve Kelly Delivers, where you get a glass and a half of inspiring, influential, and interesting guests with every podcast. You can follow Steve Kelly Delivers on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Steve Kelly Delivers is listener-supported on Venmo.com.
Hello, and welcome to Episode 2 of Steve Kelly Delivers. It is a podcast that delivers quality entertainment to you, first class. Feel free to follow all of my social media accounts by accessing my website, stevekellydelivers.com. From there, you can find me on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. I would also like to thank Alexi Wasser. She is a fellow podcaster, writer, and actress out in Hollywood. She had helped inspire me to get into podcasting. Thank you, Alexi. I hope you're listening, and I hope you enjoy. And to my other listeners, if you would like your name mentioned on my show, all you have to do is find me on Venmo, along with my other social media accounts. From there, if you make a donation to my show, because Steve Kelly Delivers is listener-supported, I will acknowledge you on the intro portion of the following episode. And with no further ado, let me deliver to you Bruce Wozniak. Bruce Wozniak, how are you?
Very good. Thank you for talking to me today.
Hey, thank you very much for being on Steve Kelly Delivers. Glad to have you.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Well, so Bruce, you are a very interesting person because you have accomplished, I mean, you've got like so many feathers in your cap that it's, I mean, where do we begin? I think that one, probably the best place to begin is at the starting point. And that starting point would be to talk about Now Hear This Entertainment, which is like your brainchild. This is, you know, what you've created. And it is now perpetuated to where this is like your full-time gig, isn't it? You're able to actually sustain yourself with this?
Well, Steve, I have a company called Now Hear This. Officially, it's called Now Hear This Incorporated. And so 4 years ago, I decided to launch a podcast called Now Hear This Entertainment, which was just supposed to be a marketing tool for the business. And you're right, it has turned into something that has a life all of its own. I'm really thrilled that the show has gotten listeners from 132 countries around the world. We've put out 211 episodes on time every week for 4 years and really talked to a lot of really fascinating guests.
Oh, wow. That is incredible right there. So Now Hear This is the, you said it was just for marketing, but the podcast had just grown and snowballed into something that is, I mean, now listened to over 132 different countries. That's just incredible.
Yeah, it's really tremendous. As I said, when I launched the show 4 years ago, I thought it was going to be a marketing tool for my company, for Now Hear This, to maybe pick up some clients out of state that I otherwise wouldn't be able to get exposure to. But now I've learned so much about podcasting and been able to connect with and meet so many people in the entertainment business by talking to all of these guests over the years that it's been far beyond what I expected when I first started it up in February of 2014. And mind you, I've even been able to talk to people in other countries. There's been guests on my show from 9 different countries. So it's, again, opportunities have come from the Now Hear This Entertainment podcast that I wouldn't have gotten if I hadn't have launched the show when I did.
Wow. All right. And speaking of opportunities, I wanted to, we're going to still talk about Now Hear This, but I just wanted you to kind of explain, like, how you came up with the concept, like, from its infancy. Like, tell us a story of how this all came to be.
Sure, sure. So, you know, my actual business, my company that I refer to, Now Hear This, specializes in management, promotion, and booking, primarily with entertainers. I do have some non-entertainment clients, such as authors, small businesses, an Olympic athlete, things like that. But since it was primarily focused on musicians, what I did, Steve, was I kind of put myself in the position of what would I ideally want for my clients? Because when you place a client into, in this case, a media opportunity, you're going to get an interview that's going to be, you know, maybe 5 minutes long, and they're going to ask the predictable questions. Your music is not going to get played. And I thought, if I was placing a client into a media interview, I would love it if they would play one or two of my client's songs, not to mention really kind of roll up their sleeves and dig into the meat and potatoes of who is this person, what have they done, what are they working on now, what is their background, that type of show. And so I thought, that's what I want Now Hear This Entertainment to be. I want to create something that's going to provide all of that for the guest. But then at the same time, I also considered the listening audience, and I thought, okay, people are going to listen to these interviews because they're fans of the guests that I'm talking to, and there will be people, sure, that will get wind of the show, and that'll say, I just like Bruce's show because I like music interviews, or he helps me discover new talent that I hadn't heard of before. He helps me discover new music. But what I really wanted to do further, Steve, was I wanted to provide a platform where the listeners who are aspiring entertainers themselves could learn from the guests. So I put the pressure back on myself to say, I don't want these to be interviews where the predictable questions are asked that these guests are used to getting all the time. I want to ask them, when we talk about things like their latest album having been entirely paid for by a crowdfunding campaign, I want them to give us the nuts and bolts. When they talk about some of the great venues that they're performing at, I want to find out, how are they getting booked at these places? When they talk about their music getting placed in TV and film, I want them to instruct, I want them to educate the listeners who are aspiring entertainers themselves, how do you get your music placed in film and television? So those are the types of questions that I'm asking, and that's the type of content that I'm producing every week on Now Hear This Entertainment.
Yeah, that, like I said, that is just awesome. So are you at liberty to talk about any of the musical guests or any of the other guests that you may have had on your show?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, it's something that I'm very proud of. Now, mind you, there's been 211 episodes so far, as I've said, but just to give you some of the highlights, one of the most recent ones was Roy Orbison Jr. But I've also talked to the keyboard player for Aerosmith, the lead guitar player for Garth Brooks, the drummer for Joe Walsh, the trumpet player for Billy Joel, and then I've even had some guests, two Grammy Award winners, a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, a Las Vegas headliner, two Emmy Award winners. And then I've even spoken to people who have been on American Idol, people who've been on The Voice, on America's Got Talent, on The X Factor. So these, I want to point out, are entire episodes. So when I say these are people I've talked to, there's only one guest on every episode. So even though my show is a good 45, 50, 55 minutes long, I really do feature that one guest. The only exception I made to that was in January of 2017, I was invited by Tascam to come out to California to the NAMM show, which stands for the National Association of Music Merchants. And I did 23 interviews in 4 days.
Wow.
Well, you know, these are just going to take up half a year if I release one guest on one episode every week. So that was the only time when I compacted them and put two guests per episode. But otherwise, these people that I'm talking about, the Roy Orbison Juniors of the world and all the others that I listened, the entire episode is just me and that guest.
Wow. So what foreign entertainers have you had on your show?
Well, I've had a good number of people from the UK. Obviously, there's a strong music presence over there. In fact, there was a guest that I had on recently by the name of James Kennedy. And he has really, really quite a following. And James has a tremendous Twitter following. And so I saw an increase in attention and interest for that episode once he pushed it out on Twitter. But there's been some interesting guests. There is another fellow from the UK by the name of Oliver Sean, who is also a singer-songwriter. But he actually used to be a VJ on MTV. So I've really gotten to meet some interesting people. There was one girl who was on my show who at the time was in Budapest, and about a year ago, and maybe not quite a year ago, she moved to the United States and ended up in California. So what was nice was I had business out in Los Angeles and was actually able to meet up with her and have breakfast with her. And it's nice when you talk to guests primarily over Skype, when you actually get to see them in person, or even better, when you get to see them perform. There was a guest that I had on from Canada, although interestingly enough, we were in Nashville. I was interviewing her on location in Nashville, but she's from Ontario, Canada. And last month, she was performing at the Whiskey A Go-Go in Hollywood, which is
I've been by there.
Very well-known music venue. And she knew that I was going to be in the area at the time and invited me to it. So it was nice to be able to go and support a guest and be able to see her again face-to-face, but see her do what she does, which is to create music.
Oh, wow. Yeah, getting back to the Whiskey Go-Go, last summer for Labor Day weekend, my brother lives in Orange County, California, and I had just visited, you know, the West Hollywood area, did the West Hollywood thing. Yeah, and I've seen the Whiskey Go-Go, and it is, like, the music scene out there, the entertainment scene in general, is, you know, of course, it's Hollywood, so it's, you know, it's going to be amped up.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, that night at the Whiskey Go-Go, I had a client of mine with me, and as we were about to walk out, I looked towards the door, and there was someone coming in who really caught my attention because of the glasses that he was wearing, and I kind of scratched my head and had this look on my face of, who is this guy?
Like, you should know who it is.
I realized it was Andrew Dice Clay.
Oh my God, awesome. Did you get to say anything to him, or did he just kind of walk by too quick?
I didn't say anything to him, although I'll tell you, I was tempted in that moment to ask him if he would like to do an interview. Yeah. But, you know, my client and I were walking out. He was coming in. There was a line behind him. It just didn't feel like the right time. So, you know, in hindsight,
oh, definitely.
I'd probably kick myself and say I should have done it. But at the same time, out of respect for my client and out of respect for the Dice Man, I thought, you know, let's move along.
Yeah, you know, I really should have went into the Whiskey Go-Go because I had actually gone, you know, I was hanging out at the bar next to there, which was Rockin' Riley's Irish pub. It was okay, but, you know, now I kind of regret not going into the Whiskey Go-Go because who knows who I would have seen in there.
Yeah,
maybe the Dice Man or...
Hollywood.
That's it. See, I mean, it was just a blast out there. All right, and shifting gears, just kind of briefly here, still staying on topic with, well, we're going to talk about podcasting because we could talk about how we met through the podcast meetup group, which is a great support group for anyone that's interested in podcasting, you know, whether you look, you know, trying to get you to help launch a show, ideas, the support, it's just been a great source of information in general. So, and also, besides the podcast meetup group, I wanted to talk about something that I missed out on, and next year I'm definitely going. It's PodFest. Let's tell the people listening a little bit about PodFest and what goes on there.
Yeah, it's a 3-day event. It was held in Orlando. It will be in Orlando again next year. And the full name of the event is PodFest Multimedia Expo, but it's known initially as a podcasting conference, but was really expanded this year and drew a lot of interest as a result because there was a YouTube track. So there were speakers who, for the entire first day, talked about YouTube, and that was a great learning experience. Obviously, the whole event itself is great learning, whether it's monetization of your podcast, whether it's how to get started, so things like equipment and software. I did a presentation myself called 20 Plus Ways to Promote Your Podcast, and there was some terrific keynotes as well. So next year it's going to be March 7th, March 8th, and March 9th in Orlando, and it's just become bigger and bigger every year. 2018 was the fourth edition of the event, so it's an annual occurrence. And it started off in Tampa and has grown so big that now there's a hotel in Orlando where it's hosted. And there was over 600 people this year. And I know that next year it will be at least double that, if not more.
Wow. So they may not even be able to accommodate. There's going to be so many people. How are they going to accommodate? I mean, this is just like growing.
The talk was that next year they'll have the bigger ballroom space than was used this year. So they're ready and optimistic and preparing accordingly that we're going to have a bigger crowd next year. We need to make sure that we have the proper facilities to accommodate everyone. And I'll tell you what, Steve, I think the recurring theme that I hear from everybody is there's just so much satisfaction with the sense of community, you know, like you were describing with the monthly Florida Podcasters Association meetings. Everybody's there to help one another, and that's just so encouraging no matter what level of podcasting you're at.
Yes, oh, it definitely is. And, you know, staying on the topic of podcasting, like, let's kind of go into podcasting 101 for people that are listening that maybe they're thinking of a podcast to do, maybe they have ideas. How does somebody get started to launch a podcast?
Well, I have several thoughts on this topic because the problem that I see over and over that people have is they get an idea for a podcast and then they never act on it. And the reason is they get so overwhelmed by exactly what you're asking me, which is what all is involved.
Yes,
so
true.
The encouragement that I give to people and that so many other current podcasters give to people is just start. Because right now, or I should say this was as of August 2017, so the number is obviously higher by now, but as of August 2017, there were 400,000 podcasts on iTunes. So the longer that you wait, the more fish there's going to be in the sea that you're going to have to swim with.
Wow.
And everyone's advice is always the more niched down your podcast can be, the better. So if you're going to launch a podcast about a very broad, a very popular topic, you better have a great, great marketing plan so that it will be seen above all the others in your category that are out there. But at the same time, you still can't get discouraged by that, because if you have a passion for it, if you have a knowledge in the subject matter, and if you have some sort of business plan of how this is going to help you, not to mention how is it going to help listeners or just entertain listeners, then you really need to get started. So what I recommend, and this is a little unconventional, but I say this from my own personal experience. When I decided in February 2014 that I wanted to start a podcast, I went to a recording studio, and I did that every week for the first probably 3 years. Kept going back and forth every week, and by just recording at the studio, I knew that I would have it every week, and all I had to do was essentially show up and be the talent. So the studio would take care of the editing, the studio would take care of everything on the technical end that scares people away initially. But what people can do, Steve, in the meantime, is this way they get a podcast out there, and behind the scenes, they can use the time to start learning the equipment, to start learning all the details that otherwise hold them up, because they say, well, I don't know all these things yet, so I'm not ready to start. Don't wait another day, because so many people are getting into it. So many people are enjoying it.
Yes.
So many people are having success with it. You really need to just start.
Yeah, I mean, podcasting, like, you know, Chris, who's the chairperson, like the founder of the meetup group, was saying this, that like right now is probably the best time to get into podcasting, because it's exploding. It's incredible. And even he was saying the same thing that you were, that, yeah, you know, just get out there and do it. Just get it on the air, podcast. And so many people, like, and I've been in this situation for months, like I'm just trying to think of, okay, how do I do this? How do I do that? I need this. You know, you just kind of, you almost overthink it to an extent.
You do, but at the same time, you know, some advice that I'll give to your listeners is just to do a little bit of research. So for openers, if you come up with a name for your podcast, just go on iTunes first and type in that name and make sure that no one else is using it. If you want to take it a step further, maybe then check for the URL and see if a domain name is available that you can purchase that'll be consistent with the title of your podcast. if you really want to roll up your sleeves and go another step, you can start looking at things like social media handles and say, can I be consistent with my branding across all these different platforms like Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, that type of thing. But there's really not a whole lot of time that you want to invest in making this thing perfect, because before you know it, it's going to be a year later and your show still hasn't going to have launched its first episode.
Yes.
So look at what other people are doing with artwork and understand that you can spend all the time in the world trying to come up with the best looking artwork for your show, but it's still going to be one in a sea of other podcast cover arts that are just going to be scrolling and scrolling as people go down their screen on iTunes looking at what's going to jump out at me that I want to listen to. So unfortunately, this isn't a case of the bigger mine is, the more that I pay. You know, this isn't like placing an ad on Google. You can't pay to get boosted up to the top of iTunes. So yes, you want to have something that looks good, that is appealing to the eye, and you want to have a catchy show title that will tell people something that's going to hook them into listening. But if you go into a think tank on this for months and months, then you're just shooting yourself in the foot because you're not getting any content created and up online.
Yes, definitely. And, you know, podcasting in itself, it's an art form. And, you know, like any kind of art, if you have a passion for it and you put the passion into your show, that will definitely translate to the listeners, because they'll pick up on it and they can feel that energy and that passion. They could see how much you love doing what you're doing with podcasting. And that in itself can help build traction.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because one thing that is very important as it relates to consideration for your listeners is being consistent. So in the case of my show, Now Hear This Entertainment, I said earlier that I'm proud that I have delivered a new episode on time every week for 4 years. So come Wednesday morning, you can rest assured there's going to be a new episode of NHTE there. My listeners know that Now Hear This Entertainment comes out every Wednesday, and so I owe it to them to be there every Wednesday morning. I don't know what their routine is. I don't know how, when, where they consume the show. Do they download it and listen to it on their way to work? Do they download it and they go listen on their earbuds at the gym? If they're waiting for it to be there, then I have to make sure it's there. Otherwise, I've just kind of cut into their every Wednesday routine, and then you have to scramble to apologize and to tell them what happened, and now you're making excuses and you're hoping they're going to come back another week. Because remember, like I said earlier, there's 400,000 podcasts. They could say, you know what? This is really disappointing that it wasn't there. I'm going to go check out another show this week, and all of a sudden, maybe you just lost a listener.
Yes, absolutely. And that's another thing that I've got to figure out as far as, you know, picking a day where I'm going to launch my podcast, and, you know, my editor and producer, hopefully he's on board with this. Kyle, you are awesome. We got to work something out, but pick a day, like whether it's Sunday, Saturday, and it's going to be every once a week. It'll be every Saturday, every Sunday, whatever day I pick. Get it out there. And consistency is, like you said, is so important. So then that way your listeners can count on you every week at that particular day. Okay, well, this is when the next Now Here's This is coming out. This is when the next Steve Kelly Delivers is being released. So consistency to obtain listeners, absolutely, very vital.
Yeah, and similarly, you know, one of the biggest questions that comes up when someone is starting a podcast is, what is the ideal length? How long should my show be?
Yes.
And there is no real answer for that, because as long as you can fill up your show with meaningful content, then if that takes 10 minutes, if it takes 20 minutes, if it takes 45 minutes, then that's your answer. But there is no magic number out there that says this is how long it should be. Now, the reason that I bring that up is because while we're talking about consistency, if people see that, okay, this show is going to be, you know, 45 or 50 or 55 minutes every week, and all of a sudden one week it's 18 minutes, and then it's back to 45, and then the next one is maybe 52, and now you're at 26, and then you're back to 46, and then you're at 29 minutes, they're going to say, what's going on here? you know, I can't figure out what's happening with the show. So that consistency even relates to something like the length of your episodes. Now, once you get up as long as mine are, like I said, 45, 50, 55 minutes, you can have a little bit more flexibility. But if you tell someone my show is going to be about 10 or 12 minutes every week and it's 29, then they're
right.
Going to say, what's going on here? I was kind of budgeting time for 10 or 15 minutes and you gave me twice as long. I don't have that kind of time.
Right. And well, as a rule of thumb, at least like I did some preliminary research on this as far as to what the time frame is for an interview, you're supposed to let the person know, okay, this could be anywhere from 10 minutes to maybe 40, 45, maybe an hour. And, you know, because, I mean, depending on what you're talking about, if you get into it and you're enjoying the conversation, I mean, it can just go. It can just really, you know, you can just find so much to talk about that you look at the time and you're like, oh my God, we didn't even get to cover this, that, or the other thing.
Yeah, there's some guests that are real passionate about their subject matter, and it does help to give them the parameters in advance so they know what to expect. You know, I unfortunately have had one or two instances where I have had to jump in, and obviously it gets taken out in post, but some guests are just so over-exuberant that you look at the time and you say, this thing is going to go on for 90 minutes if I don't take control. And I've had to jump in and say, I apologize, I just need to have you shorten up your answers a little bit because I am keeping an eye on the time. And, you know, we're trying to finish in, you know, 45 minutes, that type of thing. And they generally understand and they kind of catch themselves and say, you know, I'm sorry, I get excited when I talk about this.
But, I mean, that's really what it's all about, is just the passion. Just, you know, loving what you do. And, I mean, so before you've taken Now Hear This to the level that you're at now, like, what have you done? Because, you know, we all have bills to pay. Everyone has to work. You need some kind of a job that generates an income. So before this took off for you, like, tell us what you did before that in the meantime.
Yeah, so the business was already going on its own. And as I said, the business, Now Hear This Incorporated, specializes in management, promotion, and booking. So I was doing services, and still do actually, for clients anywhere from entertainers to authors to small businesses. I mentioned before an Olympic athlete. And it's primarily communications type services. So the work that they've been hiring me to do is media relations, public relations, marketing, the web, social media. So that was already existing. But I thought, I became aware of podcasting. I was very interested in it. And I just thought it was going to be a good vehicle that I thought, okay, even though I'm serving clients and Now Hear This is going, I would really like to broaden my reach. And you can do that through internet advertising. But I just thought, you know, there's a big difference between a boosted Facebook post or a Google ad versus hearing someone's voice and getting to know that person. And really, Steve, my attitude was that the more that someone would become a regular listener to my show, if he or she was an aspiring entertainer, they would say, you know, this Bruce guy really knows his stuff. I should contact him and see if he can promote me from across the miles, even though he's in Tampa and I'm based in wherever it is, St. Louis, Chicago, Minneapolis, Dallas, it doesn't matter. So, you know, you can't really form that type of relationship with someone through a Facebook ad or a Google ad.
No, definitely not. And now, like, talking about podcasting, because you did say that you've interviewed numerous musicians and a lot of entertainers. Like, what were some of your most memorable or, like, interesting, your favorite conversations that you wanted to talk about?
You know, believe it or not, I don't get asked that question very much, so I have to think about the answer. But one name that jumped to mind as soon as you said that is someone that I would like to say I've become friends with. I had never known this person before I interviewed them. Her name is Wendy Wagner, and she's a very talented individual. She has sung. When I say she has sung on hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of episodes of Glee, I don't mean on camera, but the music that you hear in that show, she has sung on. She is also a singer on tour with Joe Walsh. She has sung on a number of other tours, and I had the opportunity to interview her in the early going of my show, and then the Joe Walsh tour was coming through Tampa, and I contacted her to say, hey, I'm actually not even going to be in town when that concert takes place, but it would be nice to meet you in person, maybe have lunch or whatever. And we ended up doing a second interview, and that was face-to-face, and we hit it off so much that she ended up saying, look, it's really too bad that you can't come and see the show, so just pick another show on the tour anywhere and come and see it. We'll get you tickets, we'll get you backstage passes, and you know, you'll get to see us do what we do. So I actually drove up to Atlanta to see the Joe Walsh concert up there, and you know, as she said, got backstage passes. I was sitting in the dressing room meeting the other band members. We got to see sound check, and then of course got to come back at night for the concert. You know, kind of different from that was when it was time for my 200th episode, I really wanted to get a big name that would draw some attention and would be kind of synonymous with, okay, this is a big name and this is a big occasion. It's 200 episodes. So I was able to get Jim Florentine, who is a national headlining comedian that's been on Howard Stern. He's been on Jimmy.
Oh, yes, I've heard of him.
He was a host on the VH1 show called That Metal Show and has a podcast of his own that I listen to somewhat regularly, and was just really thrilled that not only was I able to get him to be the guest, but I was actually able to go interview him in person because he was performing in Tampa. So I met him at the comedy club where he was performing, and we sat down and did the interview. And that was lots of fun because he's one of those people that you're just waiting every time he opens his mouth for something funny to come out.
Yes, very true. Well, Bruce, I got to say that this conversation is flowing great. I'm so glad that I have a guest on my show that is a podcaster, that you've done numerous podcasts. Really, because my first podcast interview that I've done was with somebody who's never been in a podcast, and it was my first ever podcast interview. So it was, but I mean, we still found a way to make things move, and, you know, I'm finding my niche. I mean, I'm new at podcasting, but, you know, I'm sure my podcast will get a lot better as time goes on.
Well, let me give another piece of advice to anyone who's listening to your show that's thinking of starting a podcast of their own. And that is, if you're considering, should I do a show all on my own or should I do what Steve is doing and interview guests? One real, real benefit to interviewing guests is that you now have a second person to promote your show for you. So every time someone interviews me on their podcast, I'm thrilled because it gives me something to put on social media. Hey, I was interviewed on Steve Harv on this show, on that show, whatever the name of the show is, I put it out there, and I put it all over my social media to let people know that this was an interview that I did where I was on the guest side of the mic for once. And that's what I do when I do my podcast. So just like I want to tell people I was on the Steve Kelly Delivers podcast, I want people to do the reverse of I was on Steve Kelly Delivers. I want people who are guests on my show to say, I was a guest on Now Hear This Entertainment. The episode just came out. Here's the link to go and listen to it.
Oh, absolutely.
So if listeners, if you're considering whether you should start a podcast and just talk by yourself versus talk to a guest, consider that, because all of a sudden, you're getting double the amount of promotion. So like I said, you know, I'm going to put something out saying I was interviewed on Steve Kelly Delivers, and all of a sudden, there's twice as much promotion than if Steve just promoted it himself.
Yeah, and you know, now that we're kind of on the subject of promotion, let's talk about how to promote your product, because I know that you're big into marketing. You have such a diverse background. Like promoting your social media, because that's very important to tie everything together. You want people to find you on Instagram. You want them to find you on Twitter, and you know if they can follow you on Facebook. So let's talk about like branding and promoting.
Yeah, I'm glad that you brought up social media, because I actually want to make the point that social media is not the only place that you should promote. I think what happens is people say, well, I'm on all these different platforms, so people will find it because they mention, you know, I pushed it out on Facebook, I put it on Twitter, I put it on Instagram. And you should be doing all those, but if that's all you're doing, then you're selling yourself short. What I actually did to make this easy on everyone was when I went to PodFest Multimedia Expo in February in Orlando, and I did my 20 plus ways to promote your podcast presentation, I told everyone at the end, listen, here's what I'm going to do. This coming Tuesday, the episode of another podcast that I host, I'm going to have that episode be all about how to promote your podcast. So we haven't had a chance to talk about that yet, Steve, but I was actually hired last year by Tascam, which is a company that does all types of audio and sound equipment, and I do a podcast for them called Tascam Talkback. So if you go to Tascam.com, T-A-S-C-A-M, that you can listen to Tascam Talkback on their website, or there's links on the Tascam Talkback page, so you can go get it from iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or TuneIn Radio. And on episode 14, it was all about how to promote your podcast, and it was basically most of what I talked about in Orlando, and told people, here is a whole list of ways that you can and should be promoting, so that you don't just say, well, I put it on Facebook, because the analogy that I drew was like the old baseball expression from Field of Dreams, build it and they will come.
Yeah.
You know, if you just do a podcast and you put it out there, you can't put your feet up on the desk and say, well, now I just wait for people to listen to it. Well, how do they know that it's there? You know, just because it's on iTunes or just because it's on Stitcher Radio or one of the other platforms, it's there, but who knows that it's there? You have to make efforts to let people know about your podcast. In fact, as we're sitting here, I'm not only wearing a Now Hear This Entertainment shirt, but I actually rolled a little bit of video while I was talking earlier so that I can put that today on the Instagram account for my podcast. So it will say, the host of Now Hear This Entertainment, Bruce Wozniak, was interviewed today for Steve Kelly Delivers. We will post again to give information on when the episode comes out so you can hear what they talked about. So I'm always thinking of ways that I can promote the Now Hear This Entertainment podcast. And yes, social media is something that I do all the time, but there's many, many other ways, like I said, even down to something like going out and getting shirts made up that have the podcast promoted on there. Now, I will tell you that if you're going to do something like get apparel made up, understand that you're getting it merely for promotional reasons. Yes, you can go on my podcast website, which is nhte.net, and you can buy t-shirts and hats for the Now Hear This Entertainment podcast. But when you're just starting out, you're largely getting these things made up so that you can wear it yourself, or if you do an interview with someone and you say, you know what, this guest was really terrific, I just really felt a great connection with them, I want to give them an extra special thank you other than a handshake, maybe you give them a t-shirt or maybe you give them a hat. So don't have dollar signs in your eyes from day one, because everyone wants to know, how do I monetize my podcast? Don't worry about it at the beginning. Unless you're a celebrity, you're not going to monetize your podcast the day that episode one is released, or the month that your show is released, or even in the first couple months.
Right.
So don't worry about selling merchandise. If you decide, and you don't have to, but if you decide I'm going to get shirts or hats made up, do it because you're trying to promote your podcast. And then listen to that episode of Tascam Talkback that I talked about, so you can hear a whole list of other ways that you can promote as well.
Yes, and you know, this kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier too, with, you know, you podcast, it's like a form of artistic expression. You know, you got to be passionate about it, you have to love what you do, and if you do that, it will translate eventually. I mean, it could be months, hopefully not. I mean, hopefully the monetization happens quicker, but it happens as it builds, as it goes along. And, you know, of course, I mean, podcasting, you and I both do it because we enjoy it. I mean, you can see, it's just, we love doing it. It's something that's fun. And if you are having fun doing something, it will down the road eventually translate into becoming monetized.
Yeah, and of course there's always that old expression, do something that you'll love and you'll never work a day in your life.
Yes, very true. All right, so now I kind of wanted to shift gears to talk about your work as a speaker. I know you've done a lot of speaking, so tell us about that.
Yeah, that's been a lot of fun. Obviously, I mentioned before that PodFest Multimedia Expo in February that I was a speaker there. I had actually gone up to our nation's capital last November, and I was a speaker at DC PodFest. And I really enjoy just sharing the information that I have with other people. Now, sometimes it will be away from podcasting, so because of the work that I do in the music industry, I've put on workshops at songwriters festivals. One time I was a speaker at an event up in Nashville, which was a young songwriters workshop. So these are all great opportunities to just get out there and really just try to help people. And it all ties back into that concept of people will eventually see that this is somebody that I want to do business with. This person is bringing me value. This person is educating me. This person is bringing me help. So eventually, again, this ties back into monetization. Eventually they'll come to you and say, how can I get you to work for me? But, you know, the speaking is something that I enjoy, and podcasting has just brought me more and more speaking opportunities above and beyond what I was already doing, like those that I've mentioned.
Yeah, definitely. So your interview with Roy Orbison Jr., that I'm sure that was a Skype interview, right? Okay. And like, tell us a little bit about that, because I know growing up as a kid, I mean, I used to listen to Roy Orbison Sr., great singer. So his son, I mean, also, I'm sure he takes after his father. He's definitely a very talented man. So,
you know, I was really, that was a very interesting interview in the sense that as I was preparing for it, I thought, okay, I'm going to have to ask about his dad because of who his dad was and out of respect.
Yes.
But I don't want to make the interview all about his dad because probably everyone wants to talk to Roy Jr. just about his dad. So I thought, you know, I want to make sure that I make this about Roy Jr. as much as I can. And then, interestingly enough, as we started getting closer to it and they were sending me some information that I could work from during the interview, he really did just want to talk about his dad. But, you know, to his credit, that is really a large part of the work that Roy Jr. does, meaning preserving and carrying on his father's legacy. So he talked on that interview about a lot of the different projects that they have done, a lot of the projects that they're currently working on, a lot of the projects that are still in the pipeline that are to come in the next couple of years. So he was very enjoyable to talk to, and certainly very interesting, because being who he is, he himself has met all of the biggest names in the business. So for instance, one of the names that we talked about on that interview was Bono from U2.
And awesome.
Roy Jr. has come to know Bono, and he even talked about Bruce Springsteen as well, and the relationship that the Boss had with Roy Sr., and so by extension, you know, the way that Roy Jr. knows Bruce Springsteen. So it really was a very fascinating conversation.
Oh, I bet. I mean, it just, what I wouldn't give to be a fly in the wall on that show. All right, and amongst a lot of other things that you've done, you are also an accomplished author?
Yeah, the podcast has spawned an ebook series called Bruce's Bonus Book, and I'm just about to ship Volume 4 off to the designer. Volume 4 just continues what I've been doing in the first three volumes of the ebook series, and that is, and you can notice a recurring theme here, these ebooks, well, I guess I should stop myself. I was going to say they're primarily designed to help aspiring entertainers, whether it's on or off the stage, giving them tips that they can put into place practically immediately and with little to no budget. But some of the interviews that I've done, meaning where I've been a guest on someone's show, I have had hosts say to me, please send me one copy of one volume of the series, or if you want to send me two volumes of the series. And they have actually said during the interview, I looked at these books that you've done, and in fact, I really think that a lot of the information that you're giving out is helpful to people outside of the music industry, just from a promotional standpoint of helping people, whether it's a small business or whether it's an individual who might be trying to promote themselves in whatever profession they're in. Your tips that you're giving out, Bruce, are really helpful beyond the music industry. So I don't do that intentionally, but at the same time, I do recognize that that can be the case. It's just that I do target those specifically to performers, and I enjoy doing it because I know that entertainers, when they're starting out, they don't have a lot of money. They can't have this unlimited budget for professional development, for marketing, for promotion, and so I like to give them things that will help them get ahead, get noticed, and do it in such a way that they don't have to have hundreds and thousands of dollars to put these practices in play.
Yeah, and that, I mean, those ebooks sound just like such an informative, excellent way of getting that across. That's awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, so we're just going to kind of rehash here. Like, someone, we already talked about, like, what you need to do to get a podcast launched. If you're thinking about it, just do it. Get out there and do something. Make it happen. And we also covered with social media how important it is to tie everything together. That's how you get your brand out. That's how you get people to know, you know, everything about you, who you are. But, you know, one thing that, because I'm new at podcasting, I sent my intro to my editor, my producer, you know, my friend Kyle. I work with him. And he was talking about how the intro was probably too long, that I needed to shorten it. Like, what do you think is like the ideal time frame for an intro? Or is there one?
Well, you really don't want it to be too long. The most important thing that you want to convey in the intro is who you are and what the show is going to be, so that the listener knows what to expect on that podcast. Because you always have to remember that even someone like me that's 211 episodes into my podcast, I'm still going to have people that are just coming to it for the first time. So I'm still saying every week what the show is, because someone might be just tuning in because, in the case of the conversation we were just having, maybe they just wanted to hear Roy Orbison Jr. So they're pressing play on the episode, and they know, well, this is going to be an interview with Roy Jr., but what is the show that he's on? So that intro is crucial, because without spending too much time in it, it is your opportunity to let the listeners know, this is what you're about to hear.
Right. So then, you know, you would talk about your guest, and you kind of want to summarize what is going to be on the show, so then that way the listener can see it coming. You just like what, you know, the topics you're going to be covering, you kind of summarize that. You want to, like you said, summarize about yourself, so then that way in the show, so people know what they're going to be tuning into.
Yeah, and on my show, I tell people in the intro that it's a show for singers, songwriters, artists, entertainers who are out there trying hard to make a go of it. That way they know that, okay, I'm listening to this because I'm a fan of the guest, but he's also going to direct this towards people who are listening because they want to learn from his guests.
Yeah, and, you know, definitely, you can learn a lot from just listening to other podcasts. If you're looking to start off, that's a, you know, great way, great source of information.
I'd be remiss if I didn't again tell the listeners about Tascam Talkback, because that is a podcast for podcasters and streamers. So even though we do challenge ourselves to not make it solely for beginners, I am confident that if people listen to Tascam Talkback, they will learn a lot about podcasting that is going to answer some of the very questions that they have if they're thinking of starting one up, or even if they've already started it and kind of find themselves scratching their head on a few different topics. And
yeah,
it comes out every other Tuesday and is generally, say, in the 20 to 25 minute range.
Great. Yeah, and you know what? I mean, that's now that I've heard about Test Cam Talkback, you could bet that I'm going to definitely be listening to some of those podcasts to get, you know, any kind of ideas or any info that could be helpful. And great way to promote right there. And, you know, while we're kind of closing things off here, tell my listeners where they can find you with your, you've already kind of covered Now Here's This, but on social media, you know, your Instagram, if you're on Twitter at all.
Yeah, the best thing to do is to go to the website that I mentioned before, which is nhte.net, and that obviously stands for Now Hear This Entertainment. And once you get to nhte.net, you'll see that you can listen to the podcast there, but there's also lots and lots of icons that you can click on there. So there's a set of icons for other platforms where you can go and listen to the podcast. So you'll see an iTunes logo there. You'll see Google Play Music, Stitcher Radio, SoundCloud, and TuneIn Radio. But then you'll also see icons there for Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. So if you just start at nhte.net, you'll find all the buttons for all the links that you want, whether it's for where to listen to the podcast or where to find me on social media.
Yes, that, I mean, that's great, pinning everything right just onto the one page. I mean, like stevekellydelivers.com, I have a website thanks to my brother. He's a computer programmer. Him and my nephew were kind of working on it, getting that going, and I do have links for my social media on there where people can find me, and that really does make it easy. It's like kind of like a one-stop shopping type deal, you know, like you just go to the website and everything is right there.
Yeah, and then you don't have to get bogged down with giving out social media handles. People just know to go to stevekellydelivers.com, or in my case, they know go to nhte.net, and then it's just a matter of clicking on whichever ones they're interested in going over to.
Right, because, you know, social media, like with Instagram, that's, you know, I've found myself going on there, and now that I'm trying to promote my podcast, I'm trying just to draw people to follow me, I find myself, which I never really did before, I'm like using social media now, like, oh, you know, I constantly find myself on the clock to like entertain people, you know, I'm like always thinking like that, like, you know, this would be a funny post, or this would be a funny Insta story, or, you know, this would be like a politically charged or informative Insta story, because, you know, definitely social media is, everyone's using it as a soapbox. They're using it as a way to express themselves, who they are, and also to entertain.
That's right. That's right.
All right. Well, Bruce, I want to thank you very much once again for coming on to Steve Kelly Delivers. It was a pleasure having you on the show.
Absolutely, and, Steve. Thanks ever so much.
Hey, all right, Bruce. Thank you, and you take care, man.
You too.